God to bring our worship. Listen to this. We look at this Son, Jesus, and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and holds it together like a head does the body. He was the supreme in the beginning, leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, He's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is He, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in Him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of His death, His blood that poured down from the cross. The theme of our service this morning goes back again to the theme of Moses, but it's looking at the fact that for Moses and the Israelites in the desert, God was Jehovah Jireh, their provider. And we're going to hear more about that as the service continues. But for now, I want you to put on your thinking caps and I want you to think of at least three or four things that you have been given in the last 24 hours, both essentials and extravagances. Just think of them in your head for a minute. What have you been given? Okay, is this one going to work? It hasn't got a light on. The light went off when I touched it. Try to turn it on. We'll see if it works. Anyone got any things that they've been given?
Some chocolates.
Ooh,
chocolates. Was your daughter nearby? Did
you get... No, the other daughter brought chocolates. And the other daughter had also gone the day before and brought me something else, but that was Thursday.
Things you've been given. What have you been given? It's at the back. I don't think it's working, is it? Cuddles from your friend's dog. That's a lot of fun. What else? What else have you been given?
Can I cheat and go back a little bit over 24 hours?
Of course you can.
A safe journey back down
the
county down 250 miles.
Brilliant. What else?
So yesterday was my son's birthday and we went on a helicopter ride.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where did you go?
Around London.
Oh, amazing.
That's brilliant.
Okay, think of it in wider terms. What have you been given that perhaps is not extraordinary, not different to normal, but what else have you been given?
I've been given huge relief in the fact that we've at last, after a year, sold my mum's bungalow.
Oh, brilliant.
Way, way
Brilliant.
I see that was a gift.
My bad.
I've
also been given
a lot.
Any more?
I was given a good night's sleep.
Similar
me, as I say, I was given a lion yesterday.
A lion? Have you had any good things given to you?
No.
No. Now, I wonder, what did you have for breakfast?
I know.
You had shreddies for breakfast. Were they yummy in your tummy? Yeah. What did you have for breakfast?
I had shreddies.
You had shreddies too. Yummy things in our tummy. And what about you? What have you been given? You had things. All these good foods that we have. Are we up and running?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I was going to give all these out.
Okay. So we've been given good things. What about that wonderful day with that sunshine yesterday? And all the good gifts that God gives to us. I like this song we're going to sing now because actually it's a bit of a creed really, and we don't do much with things like that in Baptist churches, but it does just remind us of the amazing things that God has given us. God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Let's stand and sing together. We believe in God the Father. Living God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for who you are, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, bringing so many different things to us through who you are. We thank you that you know every need that we have. And we thank you that you supply us with good things, with abundance and extravagance. Not just bread and water. We thank you that you care for us, not just for our spirits, but you care for us physically and mentally and emotionally too. And we thank you too that you didn't just set the world in motion and leave it to its own devices, but you are constantly sustaining and providing for what you have made. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to sing a song that I don't know very well at all, but it's apparently one of James's favourites. James, you're going to come out here and help me sing this song, because I don't know it. All right. Last time I was here and preaching, I was talking about Moses at the burning bush and the promise of freedom for the Israelites. But out of that event came new things for Moses too, and the whole concept that he changed his view of God and he changed his view of himself, as God said to him, "What is it that you've got in your hand that I want you to use?" But now the story's moved on, and we've moved on quite a long way to what we're going to be doing today. Moses confronted Pharaoh, and God confronted Pharaoh. And there were many plagues, during the worst of which the Israelites were protected and kept free from those in their part of the land. The plagues did not affect them. Finally, because Pharaoh wouldn't set the people free, the firstborn sons died. While the Israelites had learnt to obey and followed his instructions, and they were protected by the Passover. And so they left Egypt and came to the Red Sea and began the trek to the Promised Land.
And we're going to tell... Am I on? Yes, I am on. We're going to tell the story in a slightly different way this morning. Now this is Barry. Normally he's Barry, but this morning you've got to imagine he's God. So when he speaks out, he's speaking God's words. And when he says,
"I will be your God,"
I want you to respond, "We will be your people." So let's practice that.
I will be your God.
Your people.
close.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
Now, there's a few other things you need to do at various points in the story, and it'll be quite obvious. Can you, for instance, look up at the sky as if looking at clouds and say, ooh, puffy. Come on.
Ooh, puffy. Ooh, puffy.
God, that's not very good. You can do better than that. Try once again. Ooh, puffy. Can you make the noise of a fire engine, a fire siren? You don't seem to be joining in very well with this. You'll need to do it. Can you flap your wings and make bird song? Trip, trip, trip. Yeah, that's better. And can you sort of rub your tummies and say, mmm? Can you make a sort of strong quiet pose and go and grunt? That'll do. A place to worship, let's see your hands in the air. And then if you can turn to the person next to you, put your hands up and make a tent. So it's like that. Yeah, okay? You might have to have a three-way tent or a one-way tent or whatever. What noise do donkeys make? And we go ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
That's right. We've got a good actor down the front here. And can you roar like a lion? And can you bar like a lamb?
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Here goes the story. It will be obvious that you need to do the various bits. God said to Moses and his people, now that I have set you free and saved you from your enemies,
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
I will lead you through the desert to a land of milk and honey. I'll be a cloud by day.
Ooh, happy.
And a fire by night.
I will be your God.
I don't think you're always here. One more time.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
I'll feed you when you're hungry. You can pass on me. Quail from the sky. And manna from the earth.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
I will lead you to fresh water. You can count on me. Water from a rock. In the middle of the desert.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
I will help you build a tent. I will give you all the plans, a special place to worship me. A special place to meet with me, yeah, the table world.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
I'll give you rules to live by, to treat each other well. No thieving, no killing, no wanting your neighbour's donkey. Or his wife.
Ooh, la, la.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
And together we will wait for a prophet just like Moses, who will welcome all the world to join our community.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
And lions will roar. And lambs will And lions and lambs will lie down together. And the kingdom of heaven will come to earth.
Hooray! Yay!
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
I will be your God.
We will be your people.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got another song that was sung at Spring Harvest and loved by the children. So we're going to, Lucy's going to come and help us with the lighthouse song. Then after the lighthouse, there's going to be opportunity for 1 minute stories. There are one or two already lined up, but think about if there's something that you want to share as well. Brilliant.
We've got a story, like Anne mentioned, we've got just a bit of opportunity to share how God has provided for us and looked after us, and Nikki's got things to share.
Hello everyone. Okay, is that on? I have no idea. No. I'll shout. I've got a big enough voice.
Or use the hand one.
That might be better.
It's not switched on. I switched it off.
Switch it on.
Oh, it's gone out. Technology. Hello, everyone. Okay, so a few weeks ago. So a few weeks ago, it was a Friday afternoon. I picked James up from preschool, and James said, "Oh, when's Daddy getting home?" I said, "Well, why don't we go and meet him from work?" So we got his haircut, and we went and got the bus. We're on the bus. And I thought, well, this bus isn't going to Sainsbury's. What's going on? I forgot Robbourne Road was shut. So it dropped us off at Barnfield by Lidl. I thought, oh, great. We've got 20 minutes to get to Sainsbury's. How are we going to do it? So we're walking down Great Western Way. Sorry, it's raining, really wet, really cold. He's going, "Mummy, my feet hurt. I want to go home." I was like, "Oh, we're nearly there." And I sat there and prayed and said, "Lord, if there's some way that I can get to Sainsbury's quicker, please let it happen." This car pulled in. Now, normally I would never get in a stranger's car, but this felt right. This guy rolled down his window. He had a fish on the back, which I thought was a good sign. And he said, "Look, are you going to Sainsbury's and would you like a lift?" So he got in and he was really nice, wasn't he, James?
Yeah,
but I just felt, thank you, Lord, you got me there safe. So that's it, really.
Yeah,
it's
amazing. Thank you, Nikki.
Yeah.
Maybe let Maureen have a share.
Sorry, I can.
Oh, yeah,
you can use this one. You will all remember Carol, who died earlier this year. And we went to her funeral and then we went back to the house. And we spoke with Alan, her brother, and Anne, Alan's wife, and I spoke to Anne almost as we were going, and I wanted to make her understand how well loved Carol was here in this church. And so I spoke to her for quite a little while, and I gave her one of my little cards that had my email address on it. And I didn't hear from her, and I have thought about her occasionally. And yesterday I had an email from her, and it was a sad email, because she said that she was sorry she hadn't been in touch, but sadly her husband had gone into hospital on the 5th of April, and she said, her words were, "and he never woke up." Now, we knew that Alan was very poorly because Carol wanted to go and see him at Christmas time, but because she'd had an eye operation, she wasn't allowed to fly. And I know that Carol was very upset about that, because when I went to see her on Christmas Eve, I think it was, we prayed about it. But I did say to, I've responded to Anne, and I have told her that we're really sorry for her loss. And I also sent her the love and sympathy from Lawn Community Church, and I knew that you would want to join in that. Because I don't know where she stands, but I just wanted her to know that God loves her and God is with her and her family at this sad time. And she did say to me in the email that she's in real turmoil at the moment. She said, I'm trying to sort out Carol's estate, and now Alan has passed away. So could we just pray for Carol, for Anne and her family? Father, I thank you for Carol. I thank you for the influence she had on all of us in this church. She was a quiet lady, but in her quietness she had a confidence in you. And that Sunday before she died, Lord, she stood up and she spoke of you with such confidence. So thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to speak to Anne and to Alan at Carol's funeral. And I pray now, Lord, that you would be with Anne in her double loss. She did say she has lots of family around her, but I pray, Lord Jesus, that at this very moment, you would cause her to know that your arms of love are around her. And I pray, Father, that she will keep in touch. But most of all, Lord, I ask you that you would draw her to yourself at this time of great sadness. And although she says she has lots of family and friends around her, in the times when she is alone, I pray that she would know your peace and your love and the fact that you are holding her. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Any more stories?
Sorry. I was gone just now, but on Thursday I had Joy and I had quite an experience. I want to read you something first. This is from Genesis 9 and it's verses 12 to 16. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind." Now, as George said, we've been trying to sell Mum's bungalow for almost a year. It first went on the market on the 7th of June last year. We thought we got fairly close several times. It didn't work. On the 7th of January of this year, we accepted an offer. 7th of January. We began to wonder. On Thursday, we went to meet Joyce's sister. We were driving along Marlborough Road towards the hospital, and there in front of us against the dark clouds was the rainbow. As we got closer to the hospital, it was right in front of us and probably the brightest rainbow I've ever seen. We met Carol, told her about the rainbow, and she reminded us of God's covenant. How strong that covenant is. Friday morning, a phone call. They're ready to exchange. By 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, the exchange had taken place.
We'll be looked after.
Brilliant. Any more stories? You've got a click on there, I think.
Sorry, is that one over?
Oh, sorry. I didn't see one come.
Sorry, it takes a long time to move. After a good many years since this church started, I've handed over the care of the notice board to Ruth French, who very kindly agreed to take it on. I know for a fact that she would really welcome anybody to help her. It's quite a job to be here well before the service starts every single Sunday to get it ready for people to read as they come in. So if anybody can help her by saying yes, we'll be very pleased to give you occasional help. I'm sure she will be grateful to you. Don't forget to have a look at it. There's a lot of new stuff on the table at the moment for May. Flame FM, the Christian Broadcasting Service, once a year for a month. Their program is there. The latest copy of the sister magazine, Grapevine, is there in the spring issue. And lots of other new stuff. We change it all the time, because I have. It may not look like it, but it does get changed all the time. And if there's anything anybody wants to take away with them and keep, they're most welcome to do so. There's one thing that is interesting. The booklet, which has been given out by the church, commemorating the Queen's 90th birthday, there's a copy on the table that Anne has kindly sent us. If anybody wants to have a look at it and see what the book is, what it's all about, and what we shall be offering to people later on. Thank you very much.
Before you go, Derek, I just want to pray and to thank Derek for all that he has done. Father, I thank you for Derek, and I thank you for the way that he has faithfully looked after the notice board and the table at the back of the church. I know that it's been a lot of work for him, but I know it's the sort of thing that he enjoys doing, and I know that it will be hard, really, for him to give it up. But Father, we want to thank you for this faithful servant and for all that he has done in this church. And I pray, Father, that as he slows down, you're going to slow down, Derek? We pray, Father, that you would be with him in all that he still does for you in this church and in the community. So thank you for him, Lord, and for all that he means to so many of us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You're welcome.
Well, the trouble is, time passes and bits of us stop working.
I find the juxtaposition of those two things quite interesting, that we'd sung about my lighthouse, which seems to me to be about God being our lighthouse and him being there, keeping us safe in the storms. But here is the whole concept that we're like a city on the hill, we're like a lighthouse shining out and bringing light to those around us. We've heard some amazing things that God has done, both in the Bible accounts, but also in our own lives. Stories that we've heard this morning. I wonder, did anyone get to see the Queen last week? And she was 90? Saw her on telly. Anyone ever seen the Queen? Anyone ever met her?
Jenny went past her house, but she wasn't there.
Yes, I always think she might invite me for tea when I go up for London, but it's not happened.
She came to Swindon, and I was on the bus and she drove past me.
Anyone else? It was Howard. When did you see her?
A long time ago, when I was in the Air Force.
We met her.
Dave says, I ought to tell my story. I don't know whether I want to tell my story. I miss seeing the Queen. My parents took me to see the Queen at Canterbury Cathedral when I was a kid. And we'd stood in this massive crowd for hours. And as she came through the gate, I fainted the first time I ever fainted. And my parents missed it all. So I wasn't very popular. It's amazing, isn't it, that we don't get to see our own Queen much, if ever. But the King of Kings, that's a different matter. He's here. Not only do we get to sense him and to worship him, but he actually lives inside of us. So we're going to sing a couple of worship songs. Lord, we thank you just for opportunity to worship you, the King of Kings. Thank you for your interest in us and in all your people. Amen. Please sit down, and David's going to come and read to us. And this takes place about a month after the Israelites land up in the desert.
So this is from Exodus chapter 16, and the NIV version, slightly abridged, and starting at verse 1. The Lord gives Israel food every day. The whole community of Israel started out from Elim. They came to the desert of Sin, in between Elim and Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community told Moses and Aaron that they weren't happy with them. The Israelites said to them, "We wish the Lord had put us to death in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat, and we ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert. You must want this entire community to die of hunger." Then the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people must go out each day, have them gather enough bread for that day. Here is how I will test them. I will see if they follow my directions. On the sixth day, they must prepare what they bring in. On that day, they must gather twice as much as on the other days." So Moses and Aaron spoke to all the people of Israel, and they said, "In the evening, you will know that the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord. He has heard you say that you are unhappy with him." And so the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the people of Israel talking about how unhappy they are. Tell them, when the sun goes down, you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, around the camp was covered with dew. When the dew was gone, thin flakes appeared on the desert floor. They looked like frost on the ground. The people of Israel saw the flakes, and they asked each other, "What's that?" They didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, "It's the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Here is what the Lord has commanded. He said, everybody should gather as much as they need. Take 3 pounds for each person who lives in your tent." The Lord of Israel, the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot and some gathered a little. And when they measured it out, the one who gathered a lot didn't have too much, and the one who gathered a little had enough. And everybody gathered only what they needed. And then Moses said to them, "Don't keep any of it until morning." Some of them didn't pay any attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until the morning. But it was full of maggots and began to stink. So Moses became angry with them. Each morning, everybody gathered as much as they needed. But by the hottest time of the day, the thin flakes had melted away. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seeds, and it tasted like wafers made with honey. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years. They ate it until they came to the land where the people were living. They ate it until they reached the borders of Canaan.
God's provision for the Israelites. I wonder if anybody's been watching The Island. Anybody been watching The Island? All these people, I think it was 8 men and 8 women, have been stranded on an island, on a desert island, with no supplies and a very few basic tools. And as time goes on, they become more and more desperate. There is plenty of food that they could find, but they are a month down the line, and those of you who've been watching will know that they are now pretty desperate. They've eventually found water, but they've had virtually nothing to eat for a month. And it's all become very difficult, very fraught. Relationships are stretched. And as I look at them and I think about them, I think about the Israelites in the desert. They probably brought some supplies with them from Egypt, but here they are a month in. God has supplied them with water, but food for something like 2 million people. This was no little group. We think of the desperation in the current refugees situation with the sheer numbers of people fleeing difficult situations. And perhaps what happened in the desert with the Israelites was not dissimilar in terms of just sheer numbers of people who were displaced, who needed to be fed in the middle of nowhere. And they weren't all able-bodied, a bit like those we see on our TVs. There would have been men, women, children, sick, elderly, fleeing oppression. And it's quite interesting, isn't it, when we find ourselves, when the Israelites found themselves in a difficult setting. They wanted to go back. They'd forgotten just how bad it was in Egypt, but for the present moment, their current situation feels like it's hopeless as well. And so I bet they ask the kind of questions of, well, whose fault is this? What evil has beset us that we find ourselves yet again in this situation? And in our own setting, sometimes when things go wrong, especially when things go wrong repeatedly, and within this church there's quite a few of us who found ourselves in tough situations, and every time one situation appears to get resolved, something else happens. And we find ourselves wondering, what is it? Is this the devil's opposition? And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, well, or people look at us and say, well, what have you done? When did you step out of what was God's will? And we can't think of anything. And for the Israelites, as they went across that desert, they didn't go the most straightforward way. They had a pillar of cloud, as Dave very happily said to us. Ooh, what was it? Fluffy one.
Puffy.
Puffy one. They had a pillar of cloud and they had a pillar of fire. Obvious signs, like the rainbow that Barry saw. Not things that could be mistaken. And it was God who actually led them the way they went. And often when we find ourselves in tough situations, we wonder why. And we don't know why. But when we unpack that story about God's provision of the manna, and as we unpack other stories through the whole scenario in that journey across the desert that was so fraught, every inch of the way, God is teaching his people to be obedient. And somehow, I think, within our stories, God's saying to us, will you still trust me? Will you still trust me? Will you still trust me? And so this morning, as we've worshipped, as we've considered stories, we come now to think about this story. This story of Jesus and of his provision for us. And perhaps someone could come and help me move the table.
Do it.
Out.
amazing, isn't it? The things that this symbolises for us. The things that this represents. As we think about the bread, we think about the manna that God provided for the Israelites. And we think about the Lord's body, but we can also think of his provision for us. As we look at the wine and think about Christ's blood, we can also remember in the Moses story the blood that was put on the doorposts that actually was about protection for those Israelite children and sons. And so now the invitation for us today is to come to this table and to remember our own journeys and to remember what Christ did for us. So come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. And as we come, we sing a song that I hope some of you will know. It's a Stuart Townend one that just reflects on the bread and on the wine. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, as we come to this table, we pray that you will cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. He says, "For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you do drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes.'" So let's give thanks for the bread and the wine. Lord God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you created the world and everything in it, and that right from the beginning you have plans for how you would save us. We thank you as we see your hand working down through history, through the journey of the Israelites and on through all those stories of the Old Testament. And we thank you for sending Jesus to be one of us and to live in this world and to come alongside us. And we thank you for his willingness to be a sacrifice, to take our place, to bear our shame, to face humiliation. But we thank you that it didn't end there, but that he rose victorious on that third day and now has ascended to heaven with you. We thank you for all that these symbols represent to us, of what he's done for us as a whole community, but also what he's done for each one of us as individuals. And as we eat this bread and drink this wine, we pray that you will bless us. We thank you that somehow, although those things remain as bread and wine within us spiritually, they make an impact, and we pray that you will use them for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
So we welcome anybody who's here today who is seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ to take bread and wine and to share together. And today we're going to serve communion to you in your seats, and Howard and Jenny are going to serve you. So Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. Said, "This is the new covenant sealed by my blood." Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. And particularly today, as we're aware there's a lot of germs around, if you would prefer to use a little cup, then if you indicate, I'll bring you one of those. And so as we're gathered around this table, let us bring our prayers for others. And I'm just aware that there are many issues nationally and internationally, as well as personally. And so I'm just going to bring a general prayer into which you can think through the issues that are on your mind. Come, Lord Jesus, today to the poor, the hungry, the exploited, the neglected. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, to the lonely, the desperate, the ignored, the frightened. Particularly perhaps, Lord, to those who are on a journey that they don't know where they are going to. Come, Lord Jesus, to the wounded, the sick, the grieving, the suffering, the helpless. And particularly to Edna Dean's family, to Carol's sister-in-law's family, to those in our fellowship we know who are sick. Come, Lord Jesus, to the searching, the mistrusting, the faithful, the doubting. Come, And we pray particularly today for our Queen and her family at this time of celebration. Thank you for her and pray that you will continue to give her strength for what lies ahead. Come, Lord Jesus, to each one of us and the things that we are facing this week. Give us your wisdom, your protection, your provision, your peace. Amen. And so let's conclude our communion by singing the last verse of that song. Lucy, do you want to come and show us what the children have been doing and then share with us something else that you've got for us?
Daniel, the children are drawing lighthouses. James, can you hold yours up? James, in the lighthouse.
Hang on, I think you need this room.
Yeah. So James has got a lighthouse made for the blue sea. Can you hold it up, James?
Ooh, lovely.
There we go. Olive bit is the lighthouse, the light shining out in the blue sea. Then Rose has been working really hard. Really good concentration. Daniel, would you like me to show yours?
Can I have
it? No, okay. Maybe Daniel. Oh, just pushing it. Oh, no, not that.
Is that mine?
No. And then Daniel's been doing the lighthouse as well. You did a strike, you weren't you? Yeah, so you hold it up, everybody got the sea at the bottom. Wow. So hold it up, yeah. And then the light at the top. And so yeah, there we go, I've done it. You go back to the back of Mickey. You go to the bed of Mickey at the back. There's one other thing I was going to share, was that at Spring Harvest, at Spring Harvest there was a reflection and they had salt sachets and they were prayed over and then handed out at the end of the meeting. And they said that the point of it was that you should go take this salt sachet to somewhere where you want to be salt and light. And when you get to that place, open it up and tip a little bit onto your hand and put it on your tongue to sort of remind you how distinctive and different that taste is to anything else. And to pray that you can be salt and light in that place and sprinkle it around. So I was praying over these this morning. And when I was praying, I was thinking how not only that I was praying that we will be go out from here and be salt and light in the places that we want to be, but I also felt that we can only be salt and light if we reflect on God's light first and absorb his light and then reflect it out. And then I was thinking during the service how that ties in with the two things together, really, that God is the lighthouse, but we need to look at him, let him shine on us so that we can shine out to other people. So for people that gave out communion, if they wouldn't mind just having a salt sachet and perfect, and they could take it home and pray over being salt and light. Okay. There is one of the things that's not related, if that's okay. It's just that I got a phone from my mum this morning, and in India they've got a severe drought at the minute, and there are people dying in North India, it's so just so hot, and there's not been any rain. So she just said, could I ask everyone at church just to pray for India at the minute, pray that there's no rain.
Sing, may the Lord bless you and keep you. We were singing this quite a lot about a few months ago. I hope you will remember it. There were some actions. I'm not very good at the actions. But let's at least look around at one another as we bless one another to go out and to be salt and light in the world in which we live.